Let's pay careful attention to God speaking to us through his word. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Mount Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give him my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And then our text this morning, the verse that the boys and girls know well. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness or mercy, as the gems know it, to love kindness or mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? So far, God's word. Let's ask him now for a blessing on its explanation. Please pray with me. Gracious and almighty God, Lord, these are your words to us this morning. Help us to pay attention to them. Help us to listen. Help us to walk humbly, as we shall learn, with your word this morning. Open our hearts, open our minds. Teach us, feed us, nourish us. Show us Jesus Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Just before we start, I sound rather loud this morning. Is it just me? I'm okay? At the back, Hans, can you hear me okay? I'm not too noisy? Good, okay, it must just be me. I cleaned my hearing aids out this week, so maybe that's what it is. Well, boys and girls, and the rest of us, but especially boys and girls, in just a couple of years, what each and every one of you is probably going to do is to learn how to drive. Now, at the moment, your parents are thinking, that's a pretty scary thought. You're going to learn how to drive. And when you first start learning how to drive, there are so many things to think about. You have to find out where to put the keys. You have to find out and figure out which one is the accelerator, which one is the brake, which one is the clutch. Oh, although we don't do the clutch anymore, so forget about that one. And then you get out on the road, and before you get on the road, you need to remember your seatbelt. And then as you're driving along, you need to be thinking about all sorts of things. Which side of the road should I be on? What are the other cars doing? Where am I supposed to be going? There's so much that you need to think about and be careful about. But after a while, you get the hang of it. And after a while, it becomes easier and easier. And that's when it starts to become dangerous. Because at that time, you start to get a bit of confidence. And you don't pay so much attention to what you're doing. But every now and then, you'll get a little fright. And I've been driving for about 30 years now. Don't try and do any maths there, boys and girls. You'll figure out how old I am. But I've been driving for about 30 years now, and every now and then I get a little shock. Something that reminds me that I've got to pay careful attention to what I'm doing as I'm driving. On Thursday morning, as I was backing out the driveway, I almost collected the postie. Not a good idea. And I had to remind myself, be careful. Look at what you're doing. Think about what you're doing. Now, Mr. Phileas isn't here this morning, but Mr. Phileas is a driving instructor. And a couple of months ago, I had the opportunity to drive with him. And he told me a few things. I asked him to tell me, and within 5 minutes, I had failed the test. Now, I'm working on some of those things, but it's just thinking and paying attention to what you're doing. We get casual in our driving. And one day you'll learn and know about what I'm talking about there. But we also can get casual in our Christian life. We don't pay attention to what we're doing. We don't think about what we're doing. And this morning we're going to be thinking about what God requires of us, what God wants us to do. Now, James, you know the verse, don't you? Let's say it with me. What does God require of you? To do justice, to love, and to walk humbly with our God. Now, in our text, it says loving kindness. It's the same word as we shall see. Now, those words are really easy to say. And now, I know you're a bit shy this morning, but you know those verses, don't you? You know those words. But do you think about what they mean? They're easy to say, but if you really think about them, they're actually quite hard to do, aren't they, as well? So this morning we're going to think about these commands. And as we do so, and this is our main idea that I want you to take away this morning, it's going to pop up on screen now. This morning we're going to see that God's grace calls us to do good. God's grace calls us to do good. We're going to look at those commands to do justice, to love kindness, and to love mercy, to walk humbly with our God. But first of all, and this is really important, first of all we're going to see that God's grace comes first. God's grace comes first. If you have your Bibles with me, look with me in Micah chapter 6. Micah 6 begins with a court case. God is the judge, and the nation of Israel is in the dock. They are the ones who are being accused. God calls the mountains, the hills to be his witnesses. And then he asks them a question in verse 3, speaking to the people of Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. Now, boys and girls, that's a rhetorical question because God is going to answer and tell them what he's doing. But he's asking the people of Israel, what have I done to you wrong? Have I done something? Have I said something that's made you want to walk away from me? To no longer obey me? And then he gives them a history lesson in the following verses. He reminds them of how he brought them up from the land of Egypt. How he saved them from Balak. How he saved the people of Israel time and time again. Why does he do this? Because he wants them to remember his grace. He wants them to remember what God has done for them. The people of Israel respond. You can hear them talking in verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Well, what do you want, God? What is it that you're after? Haven't we done the things that you've asked us to do? We come before you with burnt offerings. We bring before you our sacrifices. Isn't that enough? We bring our best offerings to you. Cars a year old, the best offering. Do you want more, verse 7? Do you want thousands of rams? 10,000s of rivers of oil? Boys and girls, that's lots of oil and very expensive. Or is that not enough, God? Do you actually want my firstborn child? Now, they don't really mean that they're going to sacrifice their firstborn child, although sadly, in the life of Israel, they did that. But they're asking God, what do you want? We're doing everything for you. We're doing what you ask us to do. Isn't that enough? And God says, no. It's not enough. We read before from Isaiah. You don't need to turn there, boys and girls. I'm going to read just a section there from Isaiah. From Isaiah chapter 1, as we heard about how God forgives our sins. But before this, he says this. "What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord. I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause." What does God require? He doesn't want them just to go through the motions in their service of him. No, he wants them to follow them from their hearts. He wants them to think about, to remember his grace given to them. What does that mean for us this morning? Well, how has God shown us his grace? Boys and girls, what's the greatest way? I'm sure you know this one. What's the greatest way that God has shown us his grace? Through who? Say it all together. You know what the answer is. Who? Through Jesus Christ. Yes, through Jesus Christ. That's the most powerful way that he's shown us his grace. Through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. Through Jesus Christ who forgives us of our sins if we believe in him. That's God's grace to us. And it's because of God changing our hearts, because of him giving us his grace, that we can even begin to think about serving him. Too easily in our lives, we go through the motions. But doing the things that God commands us to doesn't save us. Boys and girls, because your parents go to church, it doesn't mean you are saved. Because you go to cadets and gems, because you go to Sunday school, because you come to the service and you listen to the pastor's words and stay awake for the whole sermon, and you even stay awake for the church family prayer, that doesn't save you. No, what saves you is Jesus Christ. What allows you to live before him is God's grace, Jesus Christ, for you. Do you know Jesus Christ? Can you say this morning, boys and girls, can you say this morning, all of us, that Jesus Christ is my Savior? It's only if God has worked in our hearts, it's only if we believe in him that we can begin to even think about living a life of obedience before him. God's grace comes first. That's how the Ten Commandments works. Boys and girls, can anyone tell me, how do the Ten Commandments begin? How does it begin? Can someone tell me? Is it, "You shall have no other gods before me"? That's not actually how it begins, is it? It begins with this: "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." God begins by telling us, "This is what I've done for you. This is my grace. Now, go and serve me." And it's the same for us today, because of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Then we can look at how God wants us to serve him. God's grace comes first. And that brings us now to our verse this morning. And that's what we're going to look at in the next 3 points. And boys and girls, don't worry. That first point was a big one. The next ones are going to be a little bit shorter. The first thing that our passage calls us is to do justice. He has told you, O man, what is good. God has already told the people of Israel time and time again how you serve me. And now he tells them again here. Do justice. What does the word justice mean? Well, it means to be just. And to be just means to be fair and right. We like justice, don't we? If someone gets a piece of cake bigger than us, we know what justice means, don't we? We go, that's not fair, they got a bigger piece. But when we think about justice, we need to think about God's justice. And God's justice is rightness and fairness for everyone. God's justice means that everyone is going to get what they deserve. And God's justice also means that because of Jesus Christ, he gets what we deserve. But when we think about justice and think back to that cake, boys and girls, justice and doing justice means that you are just as upset if someone else gets a piece of cake smaller than you. Think about that. You know, you're upset if you get a piece of cake that's smaller than someone else, but true justice, doing true justice, means that if someone else gets a smaller piece than you, you say, that's not fair. They need a piece the same size as me. That changes the way you look at justice, doesn't it? What does it mean for us to do justice? Well, that means that if you see another gem or another cadet or your brothers and sisters or someone else being mistreated, that you say, that's not good enough. And you do what you can to go and help them. And it certainly means that you don't mistreat others. Doing justice means that we look out for the struggling, those who aren't as well off as us. We look after them. Doing justice means looking after our brothers and sisters and our family. And if we don't have brothers and sisters, it means looking after not just them, but looking after our brothers and sisters in our wider church family. Looking after them. Taking care of them. Making sure that they don't miss out. And you know one way that you can do that, boys and girls? After church, if you see someone standing on their own, not talking to anyone, go up and talk to them. Ask them how they're doing so that they don't feel lonely. Now, you'd think that that's an easy thing to do. Just go and talk to someone. Just go and see how they're doing, especially if they're standing on their own. But you know what, boys and girls? I challenged the grown-ups to do that a couple of weeks ago during the sermon. I challenged them to do that, to show hospitality, to look after each other. And after the service, there were at least a couple of people that were still standing there on their own. It's not easy for us grown-ups either. Doing justice means that we look after each other, that we seek out the lonely, that we take care of them. And that brings us to our second point this morning, or our second point of the commandments, our third point. That gets confusing, doesn't it? Point number three, let's have it up there, Alice, to put me out of my misery. To love kindness, or as you girls know it, to love mercy. Now this word here, to love kindness or to love mercy, is a very, very special word. Listen carefully. This word is hesed. Can you say that? Can you say that, boys and girls? Try that now. Hesed. Can you say that? All of us, can we say that? Hesed. Yeah, we see those who can do the ch and those who can't. But this word hesed is very, very important. And the first way that we see it is God's loving kindness, his mercy, or as better translated, his steadfast love for us. That's hesed. We see God's steadfast love for us right in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve decided that they were going to go their own way, when they were going to make their own choice, when they rejected God and his authority. And God didn't give up on them. Instead, he promised them a savior. That's chesed. He's described to the people of Israel how he has saved them, how he didn't give up on them. Time and time, they disobeyed him. But he didn't give up on them. That's chesed. We see that especially in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, turn over the page to Micah chapter 7. The very last part there of Micah, we read in verse 18 and following. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. That word there, chesed. It's the same word there, kindness, mercy. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love. There's that word again, kindness, mercy, chesed to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Now, can someone tell me, who's the Prime Minister? Who's our Prime Minister at the moment? Does someone know? Victoria. Jacinda Ardern, that's right. And she's been telling us to do something time and time again over the past couple of months. Can anyone tell me that? Yes, at the back there next to Holly. Social distancing and hygiene, absolutely. And that's important.
Be kind.
To be kind as well. You're absolutely right in the back there, but it is also to be kind. Now, that's not a bad thing. That's the second table of the law, isn't it? As we heard this morning. Love your neighbour as yourself. But it's being kind is not just doing nice things for people. No, this word chesed means so much more than that. It means that you don't give up on people. It means that you stick with them through and through. It means that you love them. It means that you're patient with them. Gems and cadets, when you're doing a badge and someone doesn't quite get it, they don't know what they're doing and you have to explain it to them, and then they still don't get it. And then you have to explain it to them again, and you have to explain it again and again. That is loving kindness. That is showing mercy. It's being patient with them. When someone wrongs you and they do something wrong against you, not holding it against them. Forgiving them. Not bringing it up time and time again. That is loving kindness. That is showing chesed. It's not being selfish. There were two things, putting myself at risk here again, there were two things in the supermarket that disappeared during lockdown. Can anyone tell me what they are? The first one's easy. Toilet paper, yes. Was that what I heard you say? Toilet paper, yes. And hand sanitizer, yes. Hand sanitizer. And the other thing, so there's three things, and you're like, my maths is never good. The other one is? Flour, that's right. Hand sanitizer, I'll add that to the list, that's valid. Toilet paper and flour. And the reason for that is because everyone was thinking about themselves. They didn't want to miss out. That's not chesed. That's not loving mercy. That's not loving kindness. So when you are tempted to think about yourself first, think about God's chesed. Think about God's kindness to you. Think about God's grace to you and what he has done for you. And show that to others. Our passage calls us to do justice. It calls us to love kindness. And finally, it calls us to walk humbly with our God. Now, when we think of humility, about being humble, we normally think about the negative, don't we? Say you're the best gem, the best cadet. You know all the verses. You know, extra verses that you can learn for extra credit. You're always the first one in line. Your uniform is all perfect.
You never forget your woggle or your toggle, whichever one it is. I can never figure out which it is. But you let everyone know. You let everyone know that you're the best. You've always got it right. You never do anything wrong. That's the opposite of being humble, isn't it? Being humble means that you place others above you. That you see them as more important. That you're not looking after yourself and that you want to see other people succeed and you champion, you praise their success. But while that's important, that's not what our passage is calling us to do this morning. We are to walk humbly before who? Before our God, that's right. You see, the first two commandments, if we can put it that way, to do justice, to love kindness, are things we're supposed to do for each other. It's the second part of the law, as we read it in Matthew, to love our neighbour as ourself. But this third one, or our fourth point, is something that we do before God. We are called to walk humbly before God. We're called to place him higher than ourselves, because he is. We're called to listen and obey him. To obey all of the Ten Commandments. But it's more than that. It's more than simply placing God high. It's more than submitting to him. The idea here of walking humbly is bigger than that. A couple of weeks ago, I was running down Mount Thomas. I climbed up Mount Thomas and I was running down. Boys and girls, you know where Mount Thomas is? Yeah, I think we can see it. In fact, that's it straight there. And as I was coming down, as I was running down, I had to be really careful about what I was doing. And I was thinking to myself something like this. There's a rock there. I better make sure I don't stand on that. Look out for that tree root or you'll trip over that. Watch out. Where am I going to put my next step? My left foot, my right foot? Oh, I'm really hungry. I wonder what I can have for lunch. And be careful because that rock's a bit slippery. And there, you see what I was doing? I was thinking really carefully about where I was placing my feet, what I was doing. And that's the idea of walking humbly with our God. It's not just going through the motions. It's not just turning up to church. It's not just going to gyms and cadets and doing the badge and saying the verses. It's not just reading your Bible. It's not just praying. As important as all of those things are. No, it's living carefully, thoughtfully, thinking about how you are serving God and how you are living your life. It means listening to God. Using your, as a word that we're learning at home at the moment, using your taringas. What are your taringas? Your ears. It means listening when God's word is spoken. It means listening to the songs that we sing in church and thinking about them. It means listening to God's word and thinking about what those words mean. It means listening to what the pastor says and thinking about the words that he is bringing from God's word, because that too is God speaking to us. Have you thought about it that way? Every time we open God's word, God is speaking to us. Every time we sing God's word, God is speaking to us. God speaks to us through the words that our brothers and sisters, our family and friends bring us from his word. But it's not just in church. It's for all of life. You see, it's so easy to be casual about our Christian life, about our Christian walk, isn't it? Just like driving after 30 years. But that's not how God calls us to serve him. He wants us, first of all, to think about his grace to us, to meditate on it, to dwell on it, to think about what he has done for us. And then because of that, he calls us to do justice, to stand up for what is right, to stand up for what is right for your brothers and sisters, for your friends, to stand up what is right for this country, to seek justice for our country, as we look at euthanasia, as we look at abortion, as we look at the various laws that our government puts into place. Walking humbly before God means that we think about how we can show God's mercy, how we can show God's loving kindness, how we can show his chesed, his steadfast love to others. And it means thinking about how we walk before him. But remember, always God's grace comes first. And the most important thing, boys and girls, the most important thing for all of us is that we know God's grace for us in Jesus Christ, because otherwise we can't even begin to serve him. We can't even begin to start. Do you know Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know his mercy? Do you know his grace? Can you say Jesus Christ's grace is grace for me? That's the most important question anyone can ever, ever ask you. And I hope and pray that the answer is yes. And if the answer for you is still no, then talk to your parents about it. Parents, talk about this with your children. And then only because of God's grace, go. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly before your God. Before our God. Amen. Let's ask God for his help to do just that. Please pray with me. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we begin this morning by thanking you for your mercy and your grace to us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for your promise to walk with us day by day, in and out, through the work of your Holy Spirit. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of your grace, we can serve you, and help us to live our lives before you in lives of thankfulness. Help us to do justice, to seek to do what is right and fair, and to seek that for others. Help us to love kindness, to love mercy, to show and reflect your steadfast, faithful love for us to others. Help us to look out for those who are lonely. Help us to look out for those who are struggling, for those who are vulnerable. Help us to be patient. Help us to be forgiving. And help us, Heavenly Father, to walk humbly before you. Help us not to go in cruise control in our life, but help us to think about how we live before you. Think about your mercy and think about how we can live in response to that. Heavenly Father, this passage here this morning is not just for the gems. It's not for the gems and cadets. It's for all of us this morning. Thank you for your mercy. Help us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before you this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to respond now by singing together about God's grace to us. As we think about the cross, as we look at the cross, that's what it means to survey the wondrous cross. We look at what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we think about our response and how we live before him because of that. Let's sing this well-known hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Let's stand and sing.